Sunday morning, January the 11th, study on work of an individual Christian. Again, anytime you have questions, feel free to speak up or comments. We had started this lesson for class last Sunday trying to lay some groundwork of that, the work of an individual and the importance of what the Bible puts upon the work or responsibility. We look briefly that the church is used sometimes as a collective, but more so as an individual referring to the church, and that probably 75-80% of the work is done through individuals in the Bible. Very little is placed upon a collective, the work of a collective. The church is simply all of God's people or assembly of God's people. We looked in Ephesians 3 and verse 21 that the purpose of the church is to glorify Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory in the church, that is, the individual members, that I am to glorify Christ in my body, in my service that I do. We had looked at Christ purchased the church, that we were bought with a price, that we were bought by His blood. By His blood, 1 John 1, verse 7, we are cleansed. And then, therefore, because of that, we are placed, Acts 2 and verse 47, in the church, in the kingdom. And we look from the writing of Peter that we're stones that is placed upon one another in the total kingdom, not in a local congregation. We're placed as living stones, one upon the other, at the time that we accept Christ into our lives. We tried to make a comparison between the difference between individual and a collective from Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians 3 and Titus 2 as far as a home. Ephesians 5 deals with a home, an individual home. Not homes as a collective, but each home that may have a family. And we had looked at if a group of fathers get together in someone's house and say, now we're going to start parenting. That's how we look as Christians. That, well, now we've come together as a collective, we're going to start being Christians. And that Christian, being a Christian, does not start when we assemble or when we leave. It's something that we do every day and every moment of our life. And again, the idea that when we come together, we think that all those that have not done nothing during the weak members, that an explosion takes place and all of a sudden we're great Christians. Again, if you're a bad father, getting together with other fathers don't make you a good father. The only way you become a good father is doing what your responsibility is, personal responsibility. If you're going to be a good Christian, what's your individual responsibility to be a good Christian? And so again, we become so collective-minded at times that we think we cannot function separate and apart from a collective. I've got to have somebody with me before I can do something. The word church conveys to many Christians the idea of an institution. They often envision it as something apart from the members themselves. Meaning it is thought of as a corporation or organization that functions through leaders as a corporate head does. Though the church is overseen by elders and served by deacons on the local level, this is not what we're having reference to. The church is a body of believers who function individually under the authority of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23. So that means that the church cannot function unless the individual members are active. And again, even in a collective, if you're not functioning as an individual, it makes the weakness in the collective. That each one of us is designed for a purpose, and when we come together, we bring something to the worship service in order that we may edify and exhort one another to do that which is right. And we looked at the example that Brother Paul Earnhardt mentioned, that of two young people getting married, and he asked them why they were getting married, and they said, I want someone to love me, to take care of me, nourish me, and help me through the trials of life. And each one of them made this statement. He said, which one of you is going to bring this to the table? If each of you are lacking in these characteristics, Who's going to do that? The same application can be made at the church. What do we bring to the worship service? It's something that is constant in our lives during the week. That is to be our activity, if you will, during the week. And that's the point of where it's going, that what are we required to do as individuals. That when we come together, we may exhort and edify one another to the degree of which the church as a collective comes together. We asked last week, why did you become a Christian? And that's kind of what we take up this morning from that standpoint. But again, you're not a Christian because you're involved with a group that assembles here at Mill Street and believes in certain things. Well, I assemble at Mill Street because we don't use instrumental music or we don't have fellowship kitchen. We do believe in baptism. We believe in taking the Lord's Supper. Again, these are important. But that's not what makes you a Christian. That is a byproduct of being a Christian, okay, on that. Why did you become a Christian? I guess each one could give different answers. Those in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached to them, that they realized the great sin that they had committed in killing God's only Son. He says they were covered, they were pricked to the heart, and they said, man and brother, what shall we do? The only reason you become a Christian is because you understood your relationship before God in heaven. When you look at Luke chapter 18, and I think it applies to all of us, you became a Christian. In verse 13, the tax collector standing afar would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Why did you become a Christian? I think we understood our relationship. We were a sinner. We were separated, if you will, from our Father. Back in Luke chapter 15, in verse 18, that of the prodigal son. He said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Why did you become a Christian? And when we realize that, as those on Pentecost did, in verse 47, they were placed into the church as individual members, as spiritual living stones, to do a work that was set aside for an individual to do. And with that, Peter said, then you are to grow as individuals, not as a collective, because we have 51 members here that are strong. We have 49 or not. Does not make this church strong. It's to be individual activity or individual growth. And again, I don't diminish the importance of collective in our lives, okay? It's one thing that is the most herald or the most visible in our lives. We see each other here, okay? But what about during the week when you do not see me, but only God and I know what I'm doing? We need to understand that the power of the individual Christian is the power by which the gospel is spread as an individual. It's not as a collective. When you look at those in Acts, the book of Acts, how did the gospel reach the uttermost parts of the earth? It wasn't because the church of Corinth or somewhere sent money to Paul to go out and preach. It was done through individual preaching. As the apostles proclaimed the word on Pentecost and it reached each individual that become obedient to that word, they went preaching. That's how the power of the gospel is spread. Not through because Mill Street supports Ross Tripp or that we give Donnie that. Okay? Donnie has a responsibility separate and apart from this congregation. Just like Ray does and Greg does. Okay? We function as a collective for a particular reason. In Acts 20 and verse 7, Paul there, in talking to the Ephesian elders, makes a statement concerning himself. Again, we try to stress the individual importance. In verse 27, Paul says, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Some versions may read all the counsel. And all simply means the totality of something. Paul says, I have not shunned to preach to you the totality of God's will. And brothers and sisters, that's our responsibility. Same as it was Paul's, the other apostles, same as it was early Christians in the book of Acts, we are to proclaim as individuals the totality of God's will. Again, power of spreading the gospel is in the individual. Local serves a purpose in the kingdom of God. But when a local is involved in doing things or accepting responsibilities God has placed upon the individual, then that local is burdened with an activity that should not be placed upon it. We use the scripture, and it'll be the kind of the focus of our lesson or this class in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 16, when Paul there says, if any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church, the local, be burdened with something that it's not responsible for. And yet that's exactly what we do. Not saying we in particular here, but concerning the congregations of the churches of Christ, okay? That we have got to that mentality that we cannot function or do anything separate and apart from a collective. And so when we place my individual responsibility and giving it over to the local church, we're burdened, or we're burdened, or we are doing things that we should not do. We're sinning against God, basically. But the local will be crippled, and he cannot function to do those things that he should do. God has designed the local for a purpose, and it cannot meet that purpose if it does not do the things that it's designed to do. Okay? And so we need to keep that distinction. So the local becomes burdened with the work placed upon what an individual should do. Example, it's happened here. When someone comes to us and asks for help, we've had many that has come here because they're in need of a certain thing. What's our first response? If you've been in that situation, think to yourself, what was your first response to that individual? Let me go ask the elders. Was that your response? Well, dear me. What's your responsibility? Let me see what the church, the local, can do for you. Is that your response? Folks, that's an individual matter. Don't burden the church. Why do we do this? I think it's a failure to understand the responsibility that I as an individual have. I should take care of that matter as opportunity, and if I can. Or else I find someone else they may be able to. It's not the responsibility of the church. But again, when you think of this, of why do people do that? Why do people place things upon the church that they should be doing themselves? In Matthew chapter 11, out of Luke here, and here's Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. When John the Baptist sent disciples to Jesus to ask him certain things, are you the one to whom we look for? If you look at verse 5, Christ in response said, you go tell John that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. By what way was the gospel preached to the poor? It was through an individual. Okay? It was a prophecy that was in Isaiah chapter 61 concerning Christ that was to be his word. We are to be Christ's disciples. Okay? But the prophecy made that they had the gospel, the totality of God's will preached to them. Isaiah states there, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. What has God appointed you to do? Well, when we come together as a collection or collective, we'll pay Donnie to go out during the week and do this, or we'll send money to some other gospel preachers. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you cannot neglect, if you will, your responsibility. Do you believe by faith? Again, when Christ says, you go tell John what you hear and see, they were visible of the things that Christ taught and of these miracles that Christ performed. He said, you go tell John what you see and hear. Do you believe by faith that which they were able to see, insomuch that you preach the gospel? They saw it. Do you believe that by faith, that that took place concerning the one who were to glorify? And I think that's where we fail. And Ray has dealt with it in a lot of lessons. How much do you trust God? It's going to determine how much work you do as an individual. And quit placing a burden upon the local that should not be there. When you turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, Peter there records, verse 4, coming to him, that is how we come to Christ, as a living stone, rejected indeed by man, but chosen by God and precious. You also, that's us, as living stones, that we're building up a spiritual house one by one as people accept Jesus Christ into their lives. They're placed into the kingdom one by one, a holy priesthood. It talks about here that we're living stones, okay? Ephesians 5, or Hebrews 5 and verse 12. The forward verse 12, excuse me. For the Word of God is living. That's what makes us living stones. The Word of God dwells in us. We're living stones. Acts 7 and verse 38 deals with that these stones or these words are living. When he says in verse 38 of Acts chapter 7, this is he also who was in the congregation in the wilderness, the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles of God. When we receive these living oracles, these words, we become a living stone. Okay? And again, in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, it deals that we're a holy priesthood. We as individuals, this is what we are, not as a congregation. The congregation is not a priesthood. It's a collection in a local place of priests. Okay? So we need to keep that in mind. Matthew chapter 13, in these parables, we need to understand as individuals what our responsibilities are. When he talks about the sower of the seed. In verse 5, he says, and some, because of what was being taught by Christ, that some fell on stony places where they didn't have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth. An individual's hardness of heart here would not receive the word. And so even members in the kingdom today have hardness of heart, that the Word of God, these living stones, does not take place in their lives. And so they burden the church. We are to be living stones. The question you have to ask, what about you? What about I? And again, it's an application I make to myself. I look at it from the standpoint of things I can improve on, things I lack. What do I bring to the worship service? And it'll reflect what I've done the past week. If I've done nothing the past week, I don't bring nothing. I come to be edified. When you go back to Matthew chapter 11, briefly, I failed to point this out. In verse 5, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Verse 6, And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Blessed is he who is not offended. Why would one not be offended? It has reference. First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23 talks about we preach Christ crucified to the Jews a stumbling block. And the stumbling block is just simply offending, that someone's offended. To some, when you preach Christ, they are offended. To others, as Christ says, blessed is he who is not offended. And what's the difference? One accepts what you preach, one does not. But the idea is that you've done something. All right? We are simply to preach. The heart determines who is offended and who is not offended. We can't have the attitude, well, they're not going to believe. That's beside the point. If no one ever believes in your preaching in your lifetime, does not make God displeased with you. You've simply done what you were had the ability, the time, and the opportunity to do. And so let not the church be burdened. Again, the context in this verse, if you read it, deals with that of widows. But the application does not stop with widows, that the church is not to be burdened in taking care of a widow. Okay? When you go back up to verse 8, if anyone, again, Paul is dealing with individual responsibilities, not the church. If anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those in his own household, he's denied the faith. We have a responsibility, and we'll get as we study this, our responsibility to take care of our own kin. Don't place it upon the church to do that. They are limited. And this is this text here deals with it in verse 9 and verse 10. That's the old. It's not every widow. I have a responsibility towards my parents, towards my siblings, that you don't have. And when I place it upon the church, I'm sinning against God. And we need to understand that. That I as an individual have been required to do certain things separate and apart from the collection. And when we don't do that, we sin. Anybody have any thoughts?
Well, upon the first day of the week, it says in Acts 27, when the apostles came together. And now the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it says, now concerning the collections for the saints, as I have given orders to the church of the Galatia, even so do you, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by his door, as God has proffered him, that there be no gathering when I come.
When you see this word of Bible, that's an hour from the bee, and you don't write much, what comes to your mind? What determines, it's referred to a local, as Nathan read, or not?
Context will determine whether it is or not.
In your studies, if you have opportunity, take your Bible and try to turn to the passage that referred to a local and the work of a congregation, just the local, and see how many you come up with. Now, I'll submit to you, it's going to be very few. The emphasis is placed upon the individual. Okay? But even as Nathan read those, in Acts 20 and verse 7, it's still an individual matter. 1 Corinthians says, let a man examine himself. I'm to examine myself in partaking of the Lord's Supper. Okay? In giving, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 2 Corinthians 9 says, I am to determine in my heart how much I'm going to give. It's still an individual matter. The congregation does not determine how much I give. They don't determine my position before God in partaking of the Lord's Supper. It's just simply be done when we come together. If Lowell's thoughts are somewhere else and Ray's thoughts are from the cross, Because what oil does not affect the oil, in particular the Lord's Supper, or in his giving whatsoever. It's not looked upon well. The majority, their minds was right. Well, the majority gave what they could. Again, it is an individual matter. Let a man examine himself and partake thereof from that standpoint. And so that's what we need to understand. Even though it's done in the collective, it's still an individual matter. My giving and my partaking of the Lord's Supper. That I stand before God as an individual, where my mind's at this morning, even though it's in a collective. We're going to look at why do we come together. What did God design the local church to briefly? Because we've done covered this in prior classes on that. Any thoughts from anyone? Again, you're not in the kingdom of God because you're a human being, but because you're a godly person. Okay? It's something you have done. That you have had your sins remitted. You turn your life over to God to do those works that He has designed for you to do as a human being, not because you belong to an earthly family that's godly, or you come to a collection of people that's godly. It's what? You're a godly person. And that incorporates everything that God's will has designed for me to do. And again, when I fail to do that, then I sin against God and I burden the local. To understand work of the individual Christian in the kingdom, this is the aim of what we're going to look at in this class. That we may understand our responsibility as a Christian in the kingdom of God. And to undo, if you will, the wrong concept concerning the body. When you refer to the body, you're not looking at the local. You're talking about the kingdom of which Christ is the head. Okay? That is the thought that everything that is done within the scope of the kingdom is done as a local or collective. And if you have entertained those thoughts, if you look at things like that everything is a collective, very little is done as a collective, very little. And that we cannot function separate and apart from one another. Well, let's get together. And there's nothing wrong with getting together. I don't diminish that none, okay? I don't diminish a group of fathers getting together. But that's not what makes a father, okay? Because Ray may be strong in parenting skills. I may be weak. Does not make me a great parent, okay? But I don't diminish those getting together. And the coming together is for a reason. That we may exhort, encourage one another here in this community. And to do other things that God has told us that we need to do as a collective. The function of oneself is within the kingdom of God. And again, what responsibilities are placed upon me as a priest? When you read the epistles of Paul, do you think he's writing to a collective or a group telling them what they must do as a collective? And I've often heard the phrase, well, Paul's writing to the church. Well, that's true. But he's addressing individuals within that local. This is what you must do as an individual. And we looked at Ephesians chapter 4 last week in verse 28. Again, context is going to tell you when he is addressing an individual or a group, okay? Acts 20 verse 7. 1 Corinthians 16 verses 1 and 2. Look at others. Hebrews 10 verse 25. Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together. But look at, someone read Ephesians 4 and verse 28.
Let him who stole the building work, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need.
Tell me what that verse means and give me an example of what it would prove if it was talking to the church as a collective. All right. It's him. But I'm just saying, if Paul is right addressing the church in this verse, what would it allow them to do?
It would be in business if it was brought to the church to work and raise money to
If it's a collective thing, then we as a local here could do what? We could start a business in order that we make it do what? Have something for those who need. But we understand, let him, as Bernice said, let him who stole steal no more or no longer, but rather let him labor with his hands, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to whom?
Needy.
Huh?
Needy.
What needy?
It's the people that sick and down and out.
Christians, non-Christians?
Anybody, doesn't matter.
To him who has need. Don't confine it to a Christian. Galatians 6 and verse 10 says what? It's the idea that I come and I give X amount of dollars, and therefore X amount of dollars I give to the collective is take care of my responsibility. I'm not to give everything I have to the collective. I am to set aside a certain amount of my income and resources to take care of those who are not Christians. Galatians 6 and verse 10, if someone has it.
So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith.
Two distinctions here. One, those of the household of faith, I'm going to do as an individual, separate and apart from those funds of the collective. Okay? And the other one's what?
Those that
are all men. James 1 verse 27. Pure religion. Again, look at this verse. An individual response. Pure religion. None defiled before God the Father is this. To visit the followers. Who does that incorporate? It don't say the followers of a local congregation or a Christian. It's what I do before the world as an individual Christian. I have to love my neighbor. And that incorporates whoever may be involved in that neighbor. And I told you, the guy I worked years ago with at Law Grocery, upon receiving a check, gave it all to the church. Our income, X amount is to go as a collective for a work. And X amount is to go as an individual that I may do other things in spreading the gospel. Okay? And we need to understand that. When it talks about that when you give, if you purposed in your heart, I need to take in consideration, what do I, as an individual Christian, need to do this week, and what's going to be required that I have to have that to do that? And it involves income. It takes gas. It takes other things. It may take, if somebody's in need, I have money. And we need to relate from this idea of, if you will, of a collective. If someone says to you the church is fulfilling its mission, what comes to your mind?
The church is fulfilling its mission.
Fulfilling its mission.
Spread the gospel.
But I mean the church. When the church is fulfilling, the concept is you think of a local. People tend to think of a local. It's not that of an individual. The church is fulfilled. Are we fulfilling our mission as a church? Not here as this local, but as individual members of this local. That's the idea of trying to undo over the years the concept of collective. That everything is done within the collective. I hope that's not your attitude. If it is, I pray that as we go through this class, that we can undo that and focus upon what you and I need to do. Then you'll see the results as those in Acts, the book of Acts. That we cannot go in this community unless we go as a group. Do we go as individuals? It's a question on that. Any thoughts as we close? Okay, thank you.